Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. In the studio today, actually, we're at Stephen B's knitting yarn store in South Minneapolis. Stephen Berg is a fiber artisan that is armed with a wealth of experience, a daring sense of style, and a firm belief in the transformative power of creativity that knitting or crocheting offers to all who are brave enough to push the boundaries. Stephen began his career early as a young boy, furiously knitting lines of sequin dresses for a discerning clientele of Barbies in Wisconsin. This naturally led him to become a star student in fashion design at both Parsons and the Fashion Institute of Technology. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Thank you, Nancy. Glad to be here.
Oh, good.
Or actually, I'm glad you're here. We're in the fiber loft of my fiber studio, Stephen B.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. All this color, all this fabric, all this yarn. Love it.
I know. I think Mikey even giggled a little bit when he saw all that color.
Oh, good. And you just filled out the self-awareness mentoring journal, and I did too. How are you feeling right now?
I'm great. I'm excited. I always like something new and different, so this is wonderful. I love doing podcasts. I do a lot for the knit community, but this is a little bit outside that nucleus, so it's kind of fun to experiment with something else. And I don't talk. I'm like an old German family person. I don't talk about feelings, and I just express them, and I'm very dramatic and, full of feelings, but you're making me talk about them. I don't know.
Yeah, go for it. You'll feel better.
Well, you know, I come from, my mother's background is German, so she escaped from East Germany as a young child and came with lots of stoic German opinions of things. My sister and I grew up under that. And, for instance, that's how I learned to knit, because we were to be doing something productive at all times. And if I learned to knit, I could watch the boob tube, as she called it, Saturday mornings.
Okay, the cartoons.
The cartoons. So that was kind of a very structured life and not much emotion. So
were you in Wisconsin? Is that where you grew up?
Midwest, all over. Born in Sioux Falls, early grade school in Iowa, middle school, high school in Wisconsin. Gale Ettrick Tremplow, it's a consolidated school system. So the, what do you call it, acronym or the shortened version was Get High School, because of Gale Ettrick Tremplow, G-E-T.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, that was the 70s. And then I couldn't wait to move to Minneapolis. So, you know, my emotion is whatever I'm feeling, and I don't care what anybody thinks because I'm over 50. So I say what I want, and I do what I want, and I look how I want. It was a road, a journey getting to this point.
Okay. Well, tell us more about the journey.
Wild child, artistic. Mother let me do what I wanted as far as art. When I was 16, I said, Mom, I want to go live in Paris. So I did for 3 months, and I had a blast.
Wow. And who'd you live with? I mean, how did you?
She found someone that they owned a fashion company.
Oh.
And they had a son my age, and so it was kind of an exchange program, but I wanted to know about the fashion industry. And so I was, you know, exposed to that life, and we lived in a fabulous apartment on the Seine River. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And wow. I like to do things like that. And
life-changing.
Every summer I went to visit my grandmother in Germany, so that was a lot of fun as well. I got to see Europe. I got to shop in Europe. So I came back with high fashion from Europe and didn't understand why the kids in Wisconsin didn't get it. Fresh off the pages of GQ magazine. I'm like, what are you guys, losers? And I guess I was just a little bit ahead of it.
Yeah.
So that whole growing up of now they call it, what do they call it? Not picked on.
Bullying?
Bullying was kind of just commonplace. And learning how to deal with that. I found my safe zone with my mom and the knitters and the ladies that frequented her yarn shop, which she started in the early 70s. So my job after school was coming home and winding skeins of yarn for her customers.
Oh, wow. So second generation.
Yes. I learned how to knit.
Where was your dad?
Dad was, he's Swedish. Very quiet. You know, Swedes are quiet and polite and, you know, Lutheran church coffee that you can see through and all that kind of white food that they make. And my mother's like hardcore German and dumplings and heavy food and black coffee. And so it was like yin and yang.
Yes.
A bit.
Yeah.
He was a high school PE teacher and ultimately principal and administrator. Very true that my sister's a daddy's girl and I'm a mama's boy.
Okay.
It was very classic definition. I hung with my mom. I did everything with my mom and she taught me everything she knew and we're still best friends today.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's a great relationship.
Is your dad still alive?
He's not. He died of cancer 12 years ago. And my mom's in Wisconsin, 3 hours south of here. She drives up Sunday mornings to have lunch with me and then drives home on Monday. She still runs her shop. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, call for an appointment, Krista's Yarn Shop. And
does she have a website?
She does, KristasYarnShop.com. KristasYarn.com. She's an eccentric old lady, 86, refuses to get any help. So her place is a bit of a eclectic museum of the past.
Oh.
I guess that's what most museums are. She's, yeah. I can see myself going down that same avenue. You know, I'm a mini her.
Okay.
Yeah. And my staff reminds me all the time.
Okay.
Oh, there he is, being Krista again.
And where's your sister at?
My sister Monica is in Milwaukee with her biological daughter, Jordan, whose birthday is today, December 5th, and two adopted children. So she's got her hands full. She knits as well, but she does a lot of charity knitting.
Oh.
And doesn't necessarily knit for herself, a little bit for her daughters, but mostly she gives it away.
Oh.
So different from me. She was the one that helped me start in the business, actually, with the yarn shop business, after I came back from one of my wild adventures around the world. And was like, Mom, what do we do? What do I do with the rest of my life? And she, my mom said, here, sell some yarn. Your inheritance is coming in bags of 10. So, yeah.
Okay.
She's got about $500,000 of inventory sitting in her shop that I will someday inherit. I guess we'll have a vintage yarn collection.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my sister's involved. She kind of bowed out of the business and decided to tend to her family, and they moved to Milwaukee. So, she was part of the staff, and now I have, I don't know, anywhere from 12 to 15, 17 staff members at any one time here in Minneapolis.
Well, that's a lot.
She helped me open the original store, which was called the Yarn Garage in Rosemount, Minnesota.
The Yarn Garage.
And so that we opened in 2003, and we had that until recently. And then I merged the two together because I'm some bright idea said multiple locations could – you know, amortize your costs a bit better and you'd have inventory already for the other locations. And there are so many things I didn't factor into that, like running around and manage them all.
Yeah.
And having staffing for all of them.
Yeah. So the Yarn Garage became Stephen B's?
Yes. Because I was taking it to more of a branded enterprise versus a yarn shop concept. So today you're going to have everything from here, from spinning, weaving, felting, my own line of coffees and teas and gidgets and gadgets and my inappropriate yarn department. And I've got everything. You name it. Because I like living an exciting day.
Yeah.
And I don't knit for the classic reasons. Many knitters do, you know, like gorgeous cabled sweaters and something your grandmother did. I rather knit for pop culture and art and fashion. So I'm always looking what's going on in the world of fashion and what knits are being evolving out of that community.
Yeah, I noticed you had Gilmore Girls. So my daughter and I, my daughter Olivia is 14. We're huge Gilmore Girl fans. So the movie just came out. And then I was reviewing your website and noticed that you've got a Rory sweater and...
Yeah, and there's a scarf and hat. And it was done by a friend of ours, Lisa, in Chicago, did the patterns for the actual show. And so we put some kits together. And then today we just came out with It Smells Like Snow, which is what she always says when
Lorelei
says when it's ready to snow. So we came up with that hat with our natural fur pom-poms.
Oh.
So really fun.
That's really...
We look ahead what movies are coming out, what trends are happening. We were huge on the Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a Pokemon Go hat ready for each, whatever team you were on. We're always looking at that stuff. Yeah, we're not so much about the classic yarn shop, and that's okay because there's plenty of those. And I think there's a lot of yarn shops in the Minneapolis metro area, and each one has its own personality, and we definitely have a different personality.
Yeah. Is that part of how you became one of the top 10 knitting stores in North America?
I like to think so. I think it's, you know, multiple reasons. We have a great venue. My old firehouse, built in 1890, and it was a firehouse until the 1940s when it became an American Legion Hall and dance hall and bingo parlor, and then a photography studio for a while, and now a fiber studio. I lived upstairs in the first few years where we're actually sitting right now, until I could afford to buy a house after I bought the building. And the yarn shop was on the main floor. And it was always an event space. That was my plan. An interesting space for people to come and socialize.
Yeah.
I'd always love to turn it into a coffee shop or a wine and cheese bar, but city regulations are tough on that kind of stuff. So especially when I'm not in the business. So we've served coffee and tea. I have my own brand, which we're tasting right now, the Jezebel,
yeah,
a basil delicious. Brazen hussy
Ooh.
Jezebel tea. and so, yeah, we let everybody sample our coffees and teas. And we're going to have a holiday get-together next Thursday. So everybody will come. We have membership. So you can buy a membership to Stephen B., which entitles you to a seasonal... year-round discount, seasonal specials, and free help at all times, and discounted classes and workshops. And we like to call them workshops instead of classes, because classes is kind of school gear. The word classes and lectures, it sounds like art history class at U of M. So I like to call them workshops because we work a little bit and we shop a lot.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm about. I'm about the shopping experience.
Okay. I noticed you have this awesome calendar of events. And on the calendar, you have a little tagline, be social, be creative, be here. Who helps you with coming up with the events that you do each month?
We all pitch in. Stephen B. is very much of a team spirit. Jeremy runs my online store and much of my marketing. Mary runs the retail store. Bridget helps me with all my branded and book and tours. And then everyone just pitches in, and everyone has a different specialty, and together that all contributes to the unique thoroughness that we have. And we tackle felting and spinning and blocking garments and knitting and crocheting and anything you can think of. So it takes the whole team to really pull it together, because it's a lot of work for any one person. And we have basically departments here. And although that gets blurred because everyone has to empty the garbage and mop the floor here.
In small business, it's good to be multi-talented.
Yes. So that's how we come up with that. And really everything about the statement you just read or be inspired – it all comes from Stephen B., which my last name is Berg. I just took the RG off and squished it together because I always love the idea of a one-word name, Madonna, Cher, Sting.
Yeah.
And so I was Stephen B., and it allows you to be creative and use the word be, because I wanted to be a place where you can come and be all that you can be and all that you want to be and step out of yourself and discover your inner artist and become that inner artist that I know is within.
Mm-hmm.
But we have so many rules in society that we apologize for anything we do and someone compliments us. We can't even take a compliment well today. We always like, oh, it's nothing, or we play it down.
Right.
And I don't believe in that. I think if you're good at something, you should boast about it and be proud of it and be proud as a peacock and show it off. And tell the world about it. And we, for some reason, that's wrong. And I don't get why that's wrong. So I created Stephen B. And my favorite company is B Sweet Yarn Company, which is all job creation from South Africa. I went there last year to work with them. And it's based on mohair. And South Africa is the largest exporter of mohair in the world. And no one knows that. So I found that intriguing. And so I had to go there and check it out. I'm going again this spring to teach in South Africa. Oh. And so Be Sweet came along, and the first day of my shop, they sent me a bouquet, and it says, Be Sweet, love Stephen B. So it began and ended with B. So it was kind of just the writing was on the wall.
Okay. So do you have a store there that's Be Sweet?
No, it's a brand of yarn that comes out of South Africa, and it's a job creation for women.
Oh, wonderful. I see. So you purchase the mohair from them.
And I helped develop it, and in the beginning, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And the owner and I became fast friends, and we're still friends today. She lives in California.
Okay. Wow, that's fantastic. You have that creative spirit. How do you manage that with business ownership, where some of the, there's the bookkeeping and the operational end of it that sometimes doesn't seem quite as fun as the other elements of how you work?
Well, it's a long learning process, and learning how to delegate, and being in it for a long time and actually working yourself up to the level that you can afford to have it done eventually when you get tired of it.
Yeah.
But I started out as a small business owner. It was called Strict Mode in the 80s, which means knit fashion in German. And I got together with other designers, and we opened a collective in the Galleria in Edina, which is a high-end shopping mall that back then you could afford a store there. And we sold our original designs there. So that gave me like that entrepreneurship, business owner.
Plus,
I had it from my
then?
Mother. I was my early 20s.
Okay.
And I learned that from my mother. She was a natural businesswoman, and through grief and struggle of escaping from East Germany. And then I went corporate, because in the 80s, it was kind of standard. You need to go somewhere that had a 401k and a health plan and a future. And so that's what I did. And I went to work for a company called St. Croix Knits, which is a high-end men's sweater company. And I worked for them through the 80s into the 90s. And then I went to Munsingwear, which is the Penguin shirt company now. Munsingwear was a heritage brand based in Minneapolis. And it started with the river trade on the Mississippi and the Sears Roebuck company in Chicago. And they were kind of reorging, and they brought me in to jazz up their design. Mm. So I kind of worked in the men's sportswear business for several years, left there in 98, and incorporated myself as Bergen Associates. And that incorporation, S Corp, was an umbrella that I could do anything I wanted.
Okay, so Bergen give Associates. You the flexibility you needed to kind of figure out your next phase of work?
Yes. And so I thought, well, I know all this. I have all this history. I lived in Hong Kong. I've been to every country in the world. I've worked in factories in India and Pakistan, and bought yarns in Italy, and bought fabrics in Paris. And so that cross gambit, I had so much background after 20 years that I figured I could do it on my own. So I went out as a consultant from 98 to early 2000s. And found that everyone I worked with was so stuck in their ways that it was hard to gentrify them. It was hard to make the changes. You could make new garments, but if you still had the same product development habits, the same salesman, the same way of doing business.
So they didn't innovate.
They did. It wasn't, the infrastructure didn't change. It was they wanted new lipstick on an old pig. You know, that's what I looked at it as. And, they were great. I learned so much. Everyone was wonderful. I just was moving faster and realizing that I needed to do it for myself, because I was an odd duck. I'm really good at business. I have a head for math. I can calculate anything in my head. And that's, my mother taught me that. And so I would be requested to travel with all the salesmen as the as the VP of design in order to talk to the department stores, all the buyers, because I was well-versed and I could tell them what their turns on the floor needed to be and what their maintained margin was and all these statistics that they were looking at the answers for, that the salesman had to fumble through his sheets to find the answers. And I just knew it all. So that was fun. I got to work with all the big names in all the big department stores. And then, you know, I call it the cannibalization of the retail market happened. All the little independent department stores started being bought up by the big giants, and then they all became Macy's eventually, right?
Yeah, right.
And then it wasn't fun anymore. I thought we'd design a collection and be it. I was in conservative menswear, but still I liked to throw a purple stripe in there once in a while. And it was like, oh my God, the heavens were going to fall. And you'd go to the department store and they say, great collection, but can we just do the one like last year, except with a blue stripe? And it would kind of became repetitive and not, I mean, I'm not criticizing it at all. I learned so much and I had such a marvelous life. And I made more money at that than I ever thought some little boy from that like Barbie doll clothes from Wisconsin could ever make.
Sure.
So, it's all part of the journey. You know, it's all collective. And I don't think you can look back on anything and resent it.
Right.
And it's part, all these things I weave into my knitting today. I do seminars for people around the country, mostly groups of women in yarn shops or guilds or groups that gather. And I talk about myself and my life and my analogies to life that knitting brings me. And I go around and try to inspire people. So in a way, my presentations are more of a TED talk about knitting rather than an actual how-to knit. I'm more about inspiration rather than education.
So maybe that might be your next avenue, is to have a TED talk.
That'd be fun. That's what I like to do. I like to talk, and I try things out. I'm always trying out new conversations with people, and I see how they react to them. And I realize how internalized we are. We stuff everything and we don't express ourselves and we keep it close to ourselves and we wear beige and tan and gray because it's safe. And so I'm always challenging people. And every day for me, getting ready is like a 2-hour process because it's part of my day. It's what makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And it allows me to express myself. And I put on, it depends on what the day, what my events are. So I think about who's coming to see me and what I'll be doing and what I can show that's going to make them look and think about themselves. So when I do my talks, I encourage everyone to use a color in their work that they don't like. Because we're so black and white. I don't like that. I hear that all the time. And I'm like, really? How do you know that?
Yeah.
And so I make them use something they don't like. And then pretty soon they're like, oh, when I use it like this, I like it. And I'm like, see?
Okay.
So and I think we do that in life all the time about stuff. And
we shrink our world.
I hear people about, I don't know, celebrities or a brand or food. And all I hear is, oh, I hate that. I hate them. I don't like her. I'm like, how do you know? You don't even know them. Why are you saying that? There's something about them that's not your favorite. And so I hear that in the store all the time. And I just really use my Wonder Woman shield cuffs to deflect it.
Get rid of the negativity.
Stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Well, I think we're at a good stopping place for this episode.
Episode 1?
Yes.
How many are we going to do?
I don't know. How many
Let's keep talking.
Okay,
all
great.
Right. Thanks, Nancy.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Mike Cabea, our sound engineer and photographer. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next Monday.